This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along. Today we're going to take a trip back in time through the book of Terry Diener. The books, actually. He has a new one out. The Danville Man has published a second volume that addresses these slices of history in Danville. And it's everything from bridge collapses to some incidents that you definitely will be surprised by. With that, we welcome Terry Diener to the program.
Thanks, Matt. Last year, I came out with a book called A Storied Past, The Everyday Lives of Ordinary People in Montour County. And what that was based on over the years in writing for the Montour County Historical Society or newspaper columns from the Daily Item or the Danville News, I gathered a lot of news clippings. I probably have 5,000 or 6,000 of them stored in my computer. And so I thought, well, why don't I try to categorize these and put them into chapters based on fires, horse runaways, human interest, of course, the Danville iron industry, Montour County iron industry, and farming, those types of subjects. So I did that, came out with a book. The first one, Matt, was over 780 pages. A friend of mine put together the guts of the book, I guess if you would call it that. She went in and numbered the chapters, the pages, and when she called me, she says, "Do you know your book is 780 pages? I said, "What?" And so we went with it. Now, what I decided I was going to do was do a follow-up. And this book that just came out really within the last couple of weeks is called More to Tell of a Storied Past, The Everyday Lives of Ordinary People in Montour County. So some of it is the same in the way of subjects. I've got a couple of new chapters in there. Two of the chapters in this new book, Matt, are two of my favorites when I put them together. One is letters that were written home to either parents or to the editor at the time during World War I from soldiers overseas, or else from World War II to their parents or to a fellow by the name of Mac McLuhan, who was the editor of the Danville News during World War II. So those are two of my favorites that really show the humanity and the personality of some of these soldiers and what they were going through overseas.
And your research involved?
Actually, I used a lot of newspaper.com is what I did. Okay. And then also the library, too. Yes, I would go upstairs and look at some of the books that they had on this available there that some you could not take out, but some dealing with different subjects on the town. Some of the previous fellows who wrote the history of Montour County, like Mr. Deal and Arthur Toy Folk, they wrote a couple of books on the history of Danville or Montour County. So those were good source materials as well.
And I have right over there on the shelf a copy of Bob Bomboy's book from the Bicentennial.
Oh, that's right. I almost forget about Bob's book.
There's another one, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a great material to go back on and find the resources available.
Since we're both history nerds, we understand how those are just things you pick up randomly because you want to read some new stuff.
That's right. You know, both of you and I are news nerds to begin with,
yeah.
And then we are history nerds on top of that. I'm not sure if that is a blessing or a curse, but we do it, and we enjoy it.
Always been part of my life. So any stories that stand out? I mean, you think of a history book as being, you know, when the opera house was built or mm-hmm. when this burned down. But, I mean, you're some of your stories, like you said, are things like horse runaways.
Right. There was one horse in particular who had a penchant years ago. His name was Dynamite, and he had a penchant for running away all the time. And if you had a horse runaway in town, somebody might get hurt because they are running amok down the streets of Mill Street or, you know, East Market Street or Ferry Street, and everybody had to get out of the way. So there were some particular horses that stood out in my mind. I have a headline on the front page of my latest book. It says, "Train puffed away into town, whistle blew, and then many ran." And it should say that many fainted, especially the women. The very first time a steam engine rolled into Danville back in the early 1900s, they blew the whistle, and it startled horses, and it indeed made some ladies faint because of the shrill noise of the whistle. So that was a rather funny story. one of the captions that I have too is Toby Run, Wild Man is Captured. There are two instances in the stories that I have found in the local papers, one over in South Danville or Riverside, and one out near Mosdale. There were fellas who would get on their all fours and sort of scare people and come up behind them. And they did find the one fellow from South Danville. Somebody followed his footprints through the snow and confronted him, and he promised that he would never do it again. He wasn't arrested. So that's one story there. And interesting, you come up with all sorts of subjects. In this latest book, too, people will find on animals. I have a story in there that there used to be a roller rink here in town. And I believe in the 1920s, they had a roller skating bear that would get up on two legs. They strapped roller skates onto this bear, and it would ride around just like, or skate around just like a human being would. A little strange, yes. And then there was a girl here in town who got a crow who could talk like a parrot and would hold conversations with people. So those are some of the weird stories that I've come up with, Matt, and found. And those are some of the ones that stick out in my mind because I'm strange myself sometimes when it comes to some of these stories.
Reminds me of the guy getting on all fours. It's like nowadays people do that all the time and put it on YouTube.
That's right. They could have made money back then, yeah. Matt. Yeah. And
they were ahead of their time.
Yeah. I have a couple in my first book, and I didn't touch on it much in my second book, but there's some great stories of the connections between some of the people who were in the Civil War who had connections with Abraham Lincoln. So this is a plug for my first book. If people didn't buy it, they can go back and read that one too. There was a fellow who drank at Booth's expense. He was in the Ford's Theater the night that Abraham Lincoln was shot. Booth came into the bar, which was at the bottom of the theater, threw money on the bar and said, buy the boys a round of drinks. He went upstairs and murdered Mr. Lincoln. So those are stories that, I really find interesting too. And I think anyone who's involved in the checking into Montour or Danville history would really enjoy. And that's the flavor of this latest book that I have too.
Okay. It's fascinating to me how Danville has gone from, you know, it was about the mill, and then it became about Geisinger. But it's
yes.
Kind of like the two major, it's changed, but it's still
right.
a kind of a powerhouse.
Yeah, this was a really, I suppose, a town that really had it all together. And as the mills went, so Danville went. You know, if the mills were not producing, well, then there were people in town who were really impoverished. Another thing that stood out in my mind, Danville had a section for foreigners in town, you know, and you would find that they were in different classes. They were the Irish, they were the Welsh, they were the Pennsylvania Germans. And now when the mines were first found, ore was mined over here, they brought people from Wales over here to mine the iron ore because they were familiar with what the production was and what was needed. So there were sections of the community that were sort of segregated among themselves, which I really found interesting. You would not, I wouldn't have thought of that before, as Danville having segregated parts of the community. And, of course, the river played a big part in a lot of the stories in Danville and Montour County. Now, we're coming up on an anniversary, Matt, of March the 9th, I believe it was, of 1904. It's when the ice began to move, and the big flood of 1904 washed away the covered bridge between Danville and South Danville. What always blows my mind, Matt, is when people heard that the ice was beginning to move, they all ran down on top of the covered bridge to peer out over and watch it move. And I'm thinking, whoa, didn't they think about what might happen? But eventually the piers, especially on the south side toward Danville, or South Danville, I should say, washed away. There were two or three sections. And if you see old pictures or postcards of the bridge, you've got some on this side going toward Danville, but going from halfway across the river to South Danville, there's nothing. And so from about March of 1904 until sometime in 1905, until they could get a steel bridge built, they were using the ferry in the from Danville to Riverside, or Riverside to Danville. You'd pay a certain amount to transport your goods or services. Farmers had to go back and forth between the communities. So, and as the water went, so did the ferry. If there was no water in the river, you were sort of stuck. You would have a hard time getting across. So, again, that's a story that stands out. As you mentioned, of course, the George F. Geisinger Memorial Hospital was a big deal. And, of course, as we know today, it's still a big deal. It's changed dramatically since then. But Mrs. Geisinger, Abigail, built it in memory of her husband, George. And, of course, it's been a part of the community since 1915, I believe. And that's a story in itself that it's had so much influence on the way we are economically and the way people come and go from the hospital. So that's another important part of the books.
Any advice you would give to someone who wants to, you know, do something like this or just research the history? Where, you know, what's the best place to start?
Well, probably the best place to start would be someplace like newspapers.com. Danville had several newspapers, quite a number of newspapers over the years, I mean, dating back into the 1800s. Some of those I had a difficult time finding copies of those newspapers. But another thing I did, Matt, was when I went on to newspapers.com, I went on to surrounding communities like Lewisburg or Bloomsburg or Milton, and I would type in either Danville or Montour County and pull up stories and get a hit, so to speak, on those particular names, or Washingtonville, or Exchange, any of the surrounding communities, Cooper Township, Mahoning Township, and I would pull up stories based on that. And I suppose I can say that I chose stories that I thought other people would like to read. And then there were some stories that I didn't choose because I thought they were a little too gruesome for putting into publication, or I only have stories up until a certain time period in both of these books because I didn't want somebody to get a book and say, hey, did you know that Uncle Joe was a chicken thief back in the early 1940s? So I tried to stay away from things like that. So I tried to be cognizant of not stepping on family toes, so to speak. But yeah, so going to the library locally, the Thomas Beaver Library is a great source to do that. And so if you're a history nerd to begin with and would like to research these things, you probably have a feel as to where you can go. Of course, we have some great historical societies here in Montour County with the information you can get. They have a genealogical society there, which I understand both the genealogical society and the historical society are opening up sometime in April. So you'd have to check for the hours and so on, but the genealogical society is a great resource as well for the information about somebody's family.
If you got a time machine, you could go back to any era of Danville's history. Where would you land?
Boy, that's a great question. I'm not sure I would want to go back to the time of the mills that were here because mill towns were dirty towns. They had haze, smoke all over them. Streets were probably not paved. Well, they weren't paved at that time. They were muddy. I would think probably, Matt, my era, maybe the early 1950s,
okay.
Because that seems like or maybe even just right after World War II. That's when families stuck together. People seemed to be more cognizant of their neighbors, and they stuck together and talked, and it seemed like it was more community back then than you find today, unfortunately.
I know when my grandmas were alive, I was always trying to get history stories out of them from what they specifically remembered. So,
that's a good point, too. You know, if somebody who has a grandmother today, they should really pick their brains. You know, that's another good source for history stories. Well, I remember when I was in my teens or when I was just a little child growing up on Mill Street that we did this and we did that. So, really, do not miss out on those resources, which are your relatives, and I'm sure they have some great stories to tell. I think in my first book, a lady related the story that she remembers when the first automobiles came to Danville. And so, resources like that are places to find the information.
And as far as finding your book, what do folks need to do?
Well, a couple of things. I'll give a cheap plug for a book signing that I'm going to be having on March the 15th at Basin's Coffee from 10 to 1. Be glad to talk to anybody who comes in who may want to talk about, get a book, talk about my book. And we had one March the 1st at the Thomas Beaver Library. Had a great time there with people. Did a small presentation before signing the book. The book itself is available in paperback on Amazon through Kindle Publishing. Both books are. And then back in 2020, I wrote a book, A Deed of the Foulest Kind. That was a story about the hanging of William John Clark and Mary Twiggs for the poisoning of their spouses. And they were hung here in the courtyard of the jail in 1858. So my books are available through e-reader or paperback on Kindle as well, if people would like to do that. And right now I do have some books for sale at the library. Somebody could go in there and purchase some books. So,
again, that book signing is the 15th of March?
That's correct. That's a Saturday from 10 until 1. At Basin's Coffee on Mill Street.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.